This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. When we look around the Muslim world or the world in general, we find that the Muslims seem to be in a position of weakness, seem to be in a position of oppression, whether it be in the Middle East or East Asia, or Southeast Asia, even here at home. We aren't in a position of strength. And when we see that, we see the economic situation of Muslims globally. We see the political situation of Muslims globally. We see the sometimes things that make us cringe, the oppression. And a narrative begins to develop. And that narrative is, what is the common denominator between people in the Far East and China who are being put in concentration camps? Or in the Middle East, governed by oppressive regimes? Or in Africa, again, governed by oppressive regimes? Or here, or in the West, where we have no political strength or clout? What's the common denominator amongst all the people? Different cultures, different backgrounds, but the one thing they all share in common is their faith. And so this narrative begins to develop that Islam is the problem. Islam is what holds these people back. Islam is a religion of oppression, and it's a repressive religion, it's a backwards religion. And as such, you see the reality of the followers of this religion. Now, this narrative is put out by the Islamophobia machine, and it is a machine, it's an industry. Now, what's interesting is, who is the target of this industry? Who is the goal? Whose minds are they trying to influence? And commonly it's thought that, you know, Sally Soccer Mom and John Smith are the people that they want to confuse about the religion. And that may be the case, but I think reality shows us otherwise. Because if Sally Soccer Mom or John Smith internalizes those beliefs, that yeah, Muslims are backwards, does he get a primetime CNN TV slot? Does he get book deals? Does he travel around the country and show up on radios and hit the airwaves? But what happens if a Muslim, a reformed Muslim, internalizes those same narratives? What happens to him when he says, yeah, Muslims, Islam is the reason why Muslims are so backward? Does he get book deals? Does he show up on our TV channels and our radio stations? Does he start getting paid fancy to travel around, not just the country, but perhaps the world, to share his thoughts? And it's important that you and I are aware of this, because you and I also begin to internalize some of these narratives about us, about our own selves. That maybe we are a backwards people. But here's the thing. Is this claim, let's analyze this claim. Is Islam a backwards religion? Is Islam hold us back? You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says something in the Quran that flies completely contrary to this narrative. But let's break it down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, in Surah An-Nur, verse 55, He says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very interesting. He says, He promises, He guarantees to those who believe and those who do righteous deeds, two conditions: belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that belief manifests itself as we find throughout the Quran. Alladhina amanu wa aminu, they believe and they work, they do righteous deeds. Layastakhlifannahum fil ard, Allah will most definitely, most certainly give them authority in the land. Give them authority in the land, just like He did to the people before them. And He says, and He will replace for them after their fear, peace and security. They will worship Me, not associating any partners with Me, and whoever disbelieves after that will be amongst the wrongdoers. But here's the thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equated belief and deeds with being given authority in the land. Now, can someone have authority in the land if they are a nation that it's, you know, a millennia behind the rest of the world? Can a people have authority in the land without advancing in their minds and their knowledge and their practical living? How does that happen? It can't. You know, if we look at a cause and effect relationship, if we were to implement Islam the way it's supposed to be, the effect is being given authority in the land. Or in another way to look at it, the cause is Islam, and the effect is advancement. The cause is Islam, and the effect is advancement in society. Now, that's kind of perhaps a a bold claim to make, but let me share with you some thoughts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, in Surah Al-Qasas, verse 77, He says,
وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا.
Allah says, and seek what we have given you, the home of the hereafter. Seek what we have given you, what we have provided for you. Your goal should be to use that to build your home in the hereafter. But then He says, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And don't forget your portion of this world. Now what does that mean? Don't forget your portion of this world. Well, that means number one, أَيْ لَكَ نَصِيبٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. That you have a portion of this world. Right? Don't forget your portion, meaning you have something of this world that you have to take with you. Right? And this is interesting. The last revelation Allah has given to mankind, we don't find in our philosophy, in our worldview, in our implementation of this final and most complete religion of Allah. This idea of monasticism, that we seclude ourselves in our mosques on the top of some mountain to worship Allah day and night and forget about the affairs of this world. That's contrary to the teachings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's not within our religious guidelines and teachings. This idea of monasticism, right? So Islam asks us to take of this dunya, but our goal, our focus should be the hereafter. Let me share with you a very interesting hadith. Authentic hadith recorded in the books of Tabarani and Mundhiri, authenticated by Albani rahimahullah. A sahih hadith in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sitting with his companions once, and the narration says, مر على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل فرأى أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من جنده ونشاطه. A man had passed by the companions in the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the Sahaba saw from him things that amazed them, from his skill that he was demonstrating, and the energy that he had, and the strength that he had, and they said, لو كان هذا في سبيل الله. You know, have you ever seen someone and they're so talented and you just wish that, man, if this person just dedicated his talents to serving the religion of Allah, how honored of a person this would be. How much good would come to him and come to those around him. Right? The Sahaba are seeing this man with a skill set, a very unique and expertise from this person. He was, you know, earning his living. He was out and earning his living. But they said, if only he used that, fi sabilillah, if he only went in the path of Allah with those skills. You know the Messenger of Allah, he said? He says, in kana kharaja yas'a ala waladihi sigaran, fahuwa fi sabilillah. If this person came out from his home in the morning and you see what he's doing in earning a living, if he did so with the intention to support his children, then he is in fact in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, وَإِن كَانَ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى عَلَى أَبَوَيْنِ شَيْخَيْنِ كَبِيرَيْنِ فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And if he came out to support his two elderly parents, then he is also in the path of Allah. And he says, وَإِن كَانَ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى يَعِفُّ نَفْسَهُ فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And if he came out, not for his family, not for his children, not for his parents, but you know what, for himself. To become self-sufficient. To take care of his needs so he's not, you know, asking of others. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and he is also in the path of Allah. Then he says, وَإِن كَانَ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى رِيَاءً وَمُفَاخَرَةً فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. But if he came out to show off, out of, you know, boasting of his skills, then he's in the path of shaitan. But let me ask you a question. Why do we work? All of you came to Jum'ah, you left your jobs. Most of you came from work, you left your jobs, you left your school perhaps. I know school was closed with the snow for some of the students, but you left off everything and you came to the masjid. Now, why were you at work this morning? Do we not work for one of these three reasons? To support ourselves, to support our children, to support our family, our parents? We work for one of these three reasons. And the Messenger of Allah is saying that, فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If that's your intention, then you are in the path of Allah. Working in this dunya, and you're in the path of Allah. What does in the path of Allah mean? أَيْ لَكَ أَجْرٌ.
You will take reward for every moment. So the brother who left his house this morning and was sitting in the cold in his garage at his auto shop, and he's struggling to get off a rusted bolt from the bottom of the car, and his hands are cold, and you know he smells the oil around him. It's, you know, his clothes start smelling like that oil and the like. Every moment of that effort that he's doing to earn a living, he's getting rewarded for every single second of it. The professor who's teaching chemistry at university, and he's explaining to the students, you know, the protons and this and how, you know, organic, whatever it is, he's getting rewarded for it. The brother driving the taxi and taking people around in the snow, navigating the weather and the slow conditions and all that, every second of that is a reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's ajr. فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you have the right intention that you're supporting your family. Now, no religion has this. No way of life has this philosophy that deen and dunya are merged together. There's no religion that has, no way of life that has this. That if you want your akhirah, somebody says, I want my home in the hereafter. I want to establish myself in Jannah. What does the religion tell us? Well, if you want the akhirah, the vehicle to that akhirah is this dunya. To support yourself is part of the religion. To support your family is part of the religion. To support those who are dependent on you is a part of the religion. Now, how does this lead to advancement in society though? How does this lead to advancement in society? Well, to understand this concept, we have to put a pause in that question, and let's take a step back and understand two guiding principles in the Muslim's life. Two guiding philosophies and how we live our lives. Number one, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, طَلَبَ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. That seeking knowledge is incumbent upon every single believer. Every Muslim, it's incumbent upon him to seek knowledge. What is the first verses revealed to the Messenger? The first revelation for all of us that we know and we teach our children from Sunday school, from the day they can understand. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Recite in the name of your master who has created. And the scholars, they say, when they interpret this verse, they say, اقرأ بسم ربك. Recite, learn, read about what? The religion. بسم ربك الذي خلق. In the name of your Lord. Learn about your Lord. Learn about what your Lord wants from you. Learn. We all have a responsibility, at a minimum, basic issues of our religion that we have to know. How do we pray? How do we fast? Basic things are required of us. But then in these first five verses that were revealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again tells us to iqra. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil qalam. And read, and your master is the most generous, الذي علم بالقلم, the one who taught with the pen. And when we read what the pen has written, we are reading the knowledge of men. So the scholars say it's encompassing both the matters of our religion and the matters of this world. Our religion asks us to learn both. So just like you will study Islamic studies and know the basics of your religion, you will also study science and astronomy and geology and agriculture and engineering. And all of this is part of the religion, part of what Allah wants of you and I. And the second guiding principle besides seeking knowledge is that you and I are asked, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever it is that you do, ala kulli shay, whatever it is that you do, he wants you to do it with excellence. So if you're that chemistry teacher, Allah wants you to be the most excellent chemistry teacher you can. Which necessitates that you must know your field in and out. It necessitates research and reading and expanding your knowledge and testing and learning and then sharing that with others. If you're a teacher, if you're an engineer, if you're a doctor, no matter your profession, Allah wants whatever it is that you're doing, you do it with excellence. And to do something with excellence, it requires you to be a master of that field to the best of your ability. So Islam necessitates, our guiding philosophy necessitates that you and I advance in whatever we do. And so, all of this, all of that, that research and that reading, advancing, getting your degree and working hard, all of this is ajr. All of this is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see, we have to take a step back, and at some point along the way, we misunderstood ibadah. We have this idea that worship of Allah entails difficulty. You know, praying at night, leaving your bed and standing up and praying at night when you're sleepy. It necessitates fasting in Ramadan when we feel hungry and thirsty, and it necessitates difficulty. And if it doesn't have difficulty, perhaps it's not rewarded. But that's not what our religion is. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, al-ibadah, this idea of worship, ismun jami' li kulli ma yuhibbu Allah wa yardah. It's a comprehensive term that encompasses all things that Allah would be pleased with. من الأقوال والأفعال, from both speech and action. الظاهرة والباطنة, both hidden and open. So let's say, brother, you are at work today. You're going to go back from Jum'ah and you're going to go back and get into the grind. The 9-to-5 grind, you're there at work and you're working hard. And on the way home, you stop by Walmart because your daughter at home, she's 4 years old and she keeps telling you she loves this toy. And you want to surprise her today. And so you stop by Walmart and you buy a toy. And you come home, and when you enter the home, what happens? Your 4-year-old daughter runs to the door, not knowing you have a present for her. And she gives you a big hug and sees Baba's home. She sees the car pulling up in the driveway and she gets excited. And she comes and gives you a hug, and perhaps there's no greater joy to a parent's heart. Perhaps to any living being's heart to have that when your daughter comes to you and gives you a hug and says, Baba, I love you. The joy, that comfort that you feel, it's unmatched. And then you take out the prize that you have for her from behind your back. And then you see her face light up. And she gives you hugs more and kisses and says, I love you so much, Baba. I love you so much, Mama. Thank you so much. You know, all of that, that whole picture, that whole from the moment you went to Walmart and you bought the thing and you put it in the gift bag and you came home, all of that is rewarded by Allah. All of that is ajr. What a beautiful religion. What a beautiful religion. That Allah merges these two ideas. Now, the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want to share with you a few things. Number one, he said in a hadith that he says something interesting that we may have heard this hadith before. He says, يَعْجَبُ رَبُّكُ, your master is delighted, is impressed. Your Lord, Allah, is delighted and impressed by someone. Who is this person? He says, مِنْ رَاعِي غَنَمٍ فِي رَأْسِ شَضِيَّةٍ لِلْجَبَلِ يُؤَذِّنُ وَيُقِيمُ وَيُؤَذِّنُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَيُصَلِّي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, he is impressed with someone who he's with. He's a shepherd. He's with his flock. And the time for salah comes in, let's say it's dhuhr time, and he makes adhan, and then he stops what he's doing with the shepherd, his flock, he lets them graze, and he begins to pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to the angels, انظروا إلى عبدي, look at my slave. Allah singles this man out of everybody from all his creation. He says, look at him, all of my angels, look at this man. What does he say? يُؤَذِّنُ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. He made the adhan and he established the prayer. يَخَافُ مِنِّي, and he fears me. What does he say is his reward for this person? قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لِعَبْدِي وَأَدْخَلْتُهُ الْجَنَّةِ. I have forgiven him and I have granted him paradise. Let's just think about the hadith. Allah is impressed by, is pleased with, a man who was doing his job. What's his job? That's his living. He's a shepherd. That's his job. And the time for dhuhr came in, and he paused, he took 5 minutes out, and he prayed dhuhr. Now all of you, when you're at work, and you, dhuhr time comes in, you go make wudu, and perhaps your boss comes in or your coworker comes in and catches you with the foot in the sink and he begins laughing at you. Or you go into the corner and you try to pray at school and your friends walk by and they start laughing at you. But you still pray because Allah asks you to pray. Who has it more difficult? You or the shepherd in the mountain alone praying by himself? Who has it more difficult? Yet the shepherd left his job and he prayed, and Allah, based on his sincerity to Allah and his fear of Allah, forgave him his sins and granted him Jannah. So perhaps, Allahu A'lam, but you are going through more difficulty than the shepherd when you leave your work and you pray. What is your reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But the point being is, you see that some people, they go into the dunya and they forget the deen. They don't pray. They'll pray when they get home, if they pray. And others will go into the deen so much, they'll be in the masjid 24/7 and their family is not being supported, they're not being taken care of. Allah, in His beautiful religion, has combined the two. He wants you to earn for your family, but He doesn't want you to forget your portion of the religion as well. So you work, but you also take care of what you need to be taken care of. You pray 5 times a day. You come to the masjid for Salat al-Fajr. You come for Isha. You fast in Ramadan. When you can go for Hajj, you go for Hajj. So you take care of your deen and you also take care of your dunya as well. But it's interesting. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, he says another hadith, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يَغْرِسُ غَرْسًا أَوْ يَزْرَعُ زَرًا فَيَأْكُلُ مِنْهُ طَيْرٌ أَوْ إِنسَانٌ أَوْ بَهِيمَ إِلَّا كَانَ لَوْ بِهِ صَدَقًا. He ﷺ says, there is no Muslim who cultivates a land and, you know, trees come up from it, and then people eat from it, or animals eat from it, or any bird eats from it, except that for you is a sadaqah. So somebody, he wants to go to Jannah. I want Jannah al-Firdaus. And he has a piece of land, maybe it's just his backyard. And you know what? You say, you know what? You want Jannah? Let me give you an idea. How about you hire 10 people, and you plant a bunch of apple trees, and you make sure the irrigation is right, you got a good sprinkler system, you hire the sprinkler people to come and set that up, and you plant the apple trees, and you're in your grave 2 years later, 6 feet under, and these apples are still producing fruit. Every bird that eats from its flower, every human, every neighbor that is given this apple, you are getting sadaqah for it. But what have you also done? You've stimulated the economy. You've hired people to do the job. You've researched what will make this, what tree should I choose in the weather that we live in, and all the food that's being given, you're providing for the animals and the human beings, you're getting sadaqah. You're getting reward. So Islam is a beautiful philosophy and religion that merges both deen and dunya. Allah wants from us that we do that. Allah wants from us that we do that. And perhaps I'll end this with the hadith in which the Messenger of Allah, he says something very interesting, a very powerful hadith that you can write volumes. Volumes have been written on this hadith. When he says, in qamat as-sa'ah, that if the hour is established, the day of judgment has started, the sky is being ripped open, the stars are falling to the earth, the mountains are crumbling like cotton. You are seeing this with your eyes. And in your hand is a seed. A seed. That has a potential, maybe 20 years later, maybe 10 years later, it will grow. He says, فَإِنِ اسْتَطَاعَ أَلَّا تَقُومَ حَتَّى يَغْرِسَهَا فَلْيَفْعَلْ. If you are able to plant that seed before the day of judgment takes the rest of the earth away, then do it. Knowing full well that that seed has no chance to grow and give fruit. But in your life, so long as Allah has given you a chance in this world, you are to work. You are to invest in this dunya. Invest in your people around you. Invest in your society. Invest in your economy. Invest in your family. Invest, invest, invest with the eye on the hereafter. Allah promises those who do that, who merge their deen and their dunya. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. They believe and they do righteous deeds. لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He will give them power in the land. And you see, when the pinnacle of Muslim society was, when Muslims had both. They were not only experts in their religion, but they were experts in science and mathematics and astrology and the like. And we look at Western civilization, which is put as the pinnacle. When they had religion, they were backwards. And after the Reformation happened and the Renaissance happened, they had no religion. But Islam merges the both so beautifully. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. This narrative that Islam is a backwards religion, there's much to be said about it, but I hope I shared with you a few things that can debunk this idea. And I hope we understand a little better what Allah asks of us. Now, towards the end of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, what I shared with you today was the philosophy of a Muslim individually and how that translates to society, at least a part of it. And what I want to end with is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed a surah, Suratul Hujurat, the 49th chapter in the Quran, but one of the last surahs in the life of the Prophet to ever be revealed. One of the last 10 surah to be revealed was Surah Hujurat. And Surah Hujurat is a surah that Allah revealed to give us the guidelines of how we can establish the ideal Muslim society. That ideal Muslim community. And what's beautiful about the surah is that it was revealed to a community of new Muslims. People had embracing Islam after Fatih Mecca, and they're being given this guideline because they weren't with the Prophet ﷺ for 22 years. And it's a surah that's just as applicable to a Muslim majority land as it is to a Muslim minority. Just like we are here, living as a community and trying to make this community fruitful. Allah gives us an outline in this surah, Surah Al-Hujurat. And so I want to invite everyone, inshallah ta'ala, for those of you who are able to come, tomorrow we're going to do a deep dive in this surah, Surah Al-Hujurat, from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m. right here in the masjid. We have a class that will all day, we're going to expound on some of the ideas in the khutbah today through the lens of Surah Hujurat. How we as a Muslim community can establish the ideal community that Allah had willed for us. Almost a parting revelation for the ummah of how we can live to have the ideal society. So I invite you all to attend, inshallah ta'ala. Inna Allahu malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabiyyi alladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammad wa 'ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik 'ala Muhammad wa 'ala ali Muhammad kama barakta 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim fil 'alamin innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma ighfir lil muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat innaka ya rabbana sami'un qaribun mujibud da'awat. Allahumma aslih lana dinana alladhi huwa 'ismatu amrina wa aslih lana dunyana allati fiha ma'ashuna وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم آمين وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Please straighten the lines. Let's just give a minute to fill the sides of the masjid, particularly your right side. There's still some space. So please fill all the first rows first. Straighten the lines. Have your cell phones on silent. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Malik Yawm Al-Din. Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Ihdina الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإلى الله ترجع الأمور كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون. الله
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم